go. Hello, everybody. I'm Bill Buckmaster, Tom Fairbanks, engineering and producing on the other side of the glass. Tom, I can officially declare monsoon 2022 is underway because there were 10 drops of rain on
is
the windshield.
Is that what that was? I saw something hitting my windshield on the way in, and I wasn't sure.
Well,
it brought back vague memories of something.
There was a whiff of the monsoon last Friday, but that was not official for me until I actually get some raindrops. And so we've got them, and hopefully there'll be a productive rainstorm somewhere. I think the percentage is up to 70% now for the beginning of the monsoon on Saturday. It's the Buckmaster Show. We're in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. It's Friday, June 17th, 2022. The radio station is 1030 KVOI, Tucson's voice for trusted news and talk. We're in our 12th year on the radio, 34th year on TV and radio here in Tucson. We have our worldwide live listening and podcasts at buckmastershow.com. Lots of archive material going back all the way to the first week of 2011. The Buckmaster Show live line for our telephone interviews is presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Our media partners, TucsonSentinel.com, Dylan Smith and his team. Thanks, Dylan. Green Valley News and Saurita's son, Dan Shear, and the team down there, Tucson Local Media Group, its portfolio of publications, including Inside Tucson Business, Tucson Weekly, Oro Valley Explorer, Marana News, Foothills News, and Desert Times. Friday Focus interview today, Tucson Police Chief Chad Kazmar is with us. Chief, how are you?
Good, sir. How are you doing?
Always good to see you. Joining me in the conversation with the Chief, Tim Steller, the Arizona Newspaper Association Journalist of the Year, columnist for the Arizona Daily Star. Tim, how are you doing, buddy boy?
I am doing pretty well.
Yeah, it's good to see you.
Got some rain on the windshield on the way in.
So. Yeah. Can we say something about that Contreras fire? Is that an official update that
you
were telling?
I think it is, yeah. I mean, I was just reading
That's
Twitter.
That's the Kitt Peak fire.
So what happened, according to the Kitt Peak National Observatory, I'll just read it so that there's
okay, real quick.
The Contreras fire reached the observatory early Friday morning. We are working with firefighters at the site to assess possible damage.
Yeah, and we've got that as well, right, Tom? Okay, so we're all covered, and hopefully there's not too much damage. Chief, how are we doing through almost 6 months here with the TPD?
It's hard to believe it's been 6 months, but I'm having a great time, still enjoying coming to work every morning and leading a fantastic organization and an amazing community.
How are the numbers looking?
We're hanging in there. You know, obviously we talked last time, I'm interested in growth. I'm at 880 authorized police officer positions, and I have just under 750 of those filled, and I've got 75 recruits in various stages of training at the academy and out in the field.
How about numbers on crime? Can you tell us how does this first 6 months compare to the first 6 months of last year?
So we're still trending high in violent crime, like many major cities across the country. We're 36 homicides to date. We are trending a little lower in that area because we had over 92 of those last year.
Was that a record year, Chief?
It was a record year. And maybe we can dive into that a little bit later when we talk. We maybe tie in some gun conversation into that. Some calls for service are down. The calls coming in for the community are actually up in the 911 center. But the dispatch calls are lower, which is good. That means we're triaging the work in the 911, the Emergency Communication Center, and putting the right work in the right hands.
And that's paying off then, because we've had your director. She's doing a great job, who's over there at 911, and I think she's really bringing a new focus right to that whole department.
Absolutely. You know, in government, we don't always, sometimes succession planning's a dirty word, but what you're seeing there is in play. When I had the opportunity to go down there last year, I brought Chief McDonough and Garcia along with me with a long-term planning for succession. And so now who used to be a TFD employee is now Public Safety Communications Director, Sharon McDonough. She's doing an amazing job with her number two, Mike Garcia. And just they recently just had a couple promotions. They're promoting the middle management up from their current workforce. They're just doing a fantastic job. And Chief Ryan and I couldn't be more proud of them.
Here's Tim Steller.
Chief, what makes it so hard for the Tucson department to retain or hire, well, specifically retain officers these days?
Great question, Tim. I think a couple things. One, post-George Floyd world, it was definitely the hardest year of my life when we had our own summer, we had our own pitfalls with the two different in-custody deaths that everybody's well aware of, Tim, as are you. And it just was a difficult time to really be in policing when we were really reassessing throughout the country what policing would look like. And every community has their own opinion about that. So you add that on to large bodies of government trying to figure out what they were going to do with their police workforces on top of then a pandemic. And the great resignation, and I think it's the trifecta where it's really, it's not just the police department, it's the public safety team, which means your emergency communication center are struggling. We're seeing less applicants for the fire department and as well as with the police department.
So in other words, it's a less attractive job for a lot of people to either stay in or get into these days because of stuff that happened over the last couple of years?
Yeah, I think most reasonable people would think when you turn on the news every day and you see a police officer's actions highlighted negatively or police officers being prosecuted for a crime. And I always like to throw in, there's not too many professions where you wear a body more camera every day. And I'd ask both of you and all of the listeners, if you left your house every morning and turned on a camera and put it on your chest and you recorded all of your behaviors all day long, it would change your life and change your perspective on the world. So there's really complex things I like to add as well. We train police officers across the country, including here in Arizona, for 9 months. So we take young human beings, we invest 9 months of training in them, and we give them a gun and a badge and a camera, and we tell them, hey, go forth and now start adding tools in your toolbox. When it takes 2 years to get an associate's degree, it takes 4 years to get a bachelor's degree, it takes 4 years to become a licensed electrician or plumber. So I think we have to continue looking at the investment we're making or not making in public safety and evaluate if we want perfection in different outcomes. That only comes through investment.
And then let me jump in, Tim, because it's about following up about money. Is that the big motivator? Is that, I'm sure it's one of them. When you see Phoenix, what they do a $20,000 per officer or something like that last night?
Base salary increase. What we're seeing
increase.
In public safety were
Sarita's advertising, you know, a lot of money. So what about the money motivation?
I think money in everybody's life. Everybody wants to be fairly compensated for the work that they're doing. And we all know this is a crazy market. My son's a brand new city employee as a lifeguard. He's carrying on the tradition of my wife and I who met lifeguarding for the city. Oh. I started about $6 an hour in 1996 and he started at $16.75.
Yeah.
The job market is just crazy in this mm-hmm. country, and it's no different for public safety. And so I think, again, communities across the country and in the state and here locally are having to evaluate market for what's fair pay for the workload. We are the busiest police department south of Phoenix. We're one of the most progressive police departments in the country. I'm extremely proud of the work we can continue that Chief Magnus taught us how to do. But fair pay is a component. I like to say there's three things. Engaged leadership, who understand the nuances and the pressures of the job of the people they lead. Number two, balanced workload. There should be balanced workload where people come in and they feel like they're making a difference. And the third thing is fair pay.
Mental health is a huge issue now for law enforcement. Are we doing anything in Tucson to get people the instruction that they need or help that they need?
We have a couple different programs that we're working on right now and evaluating. When I first came back, we restructured the department and I made an intentional investment in our mental health and wellness with our own resources to build out our amazing BSU team, our behavioral services unit, who's led by Dr. Cornell. But it's not enough. We have a large agency of about 1,000 staff members. We should have about 1,200 and hopefully keep scaling up from there. Mm-hmm. And we see some pretty horrific, horrible things every day. And we are human beings, so we actually come to work as new employees with personal life trauma
of
as
course.
Well. So we're partnering with a company called Boulder Crest. And we're actually launching our fifth class Monday. And the idea, Bill, is that through our life experiences, we build up trauma and we don't appropriately deal with it. And then when you become a first responder on either the police team, the fire team, or the emergency communications team, you're exposed to 90% more trauma than the average human being. And it's like deferred maintenance on your house. When I was a brand new cop, you know, you wouldn't saw a child death or a horrific car accident or somebody, the homicide scene, or just a death in a family where you have to comfort a family. There's no training for that. You just have to do it and learn how to do it. But that all comes at a personal cost, because at the end of the day, we're community members just like the listeners, and we go home and we have to process what happened during our day. And the culture within public safety has been suck it up, pack it
bury
away
it
and
move somewhere forward. In the back of the mind, right?
Right.
Move forward.
Which results in post-traumatic disorders. And the reality is suicide continues to be one of the largest killers of our public safety members. And so couldn't be more proud of the effort we're making in this space. It's not enough. It's better, but it's not enough. I like to tell people we should be investing in teachers and public safety personnel like we do our athletes in this country, and we don't. Mm-hmm. And it's disappointing that we, you know, let's look at a collegiate athlete or a professional ball player and look at, they have the best nutritionist. They have the best mental health. They get to practice every day, all day for game day. So again, I go back to 9 months of training and look at the amazing work. You know, if we're doing 300,000 calls for service a year, over a million contacts with the public a year, there's over 18,000 police departments in this country. There's going to be situations and interactions that have bad outcomes.
Okay, here's Tim Steller.
What role does the level of violence that we've seen in Tucson the last couple of years play in this? That is, over the years, sometimes I've talked to police officers who kind of enjoy going from, you know, being distracted, going from call to call, things, having something to do, a role to play, as opposed to being kind of bored driving around. Is it like that anymore, or is there so much to do for Tucson police officers that it's just too much?
There's plenty of work to be done. So that's a really great question. So we average anywhere from 700 to 800 calls for service a day. So there is absolutely no shift that works in this city, day, night, weekends, that doesn't have plenty of work to do. So we break our calls for service down. Level one's the top priority, level two, level three, level four. And, you know, we are not providing, you know, I'm proud of the service we're providing. The men and women are doing a great job with short staffed on our priority calls for service. But it's no secret that on the level threes and fours, if you've been in a collision and there's no injuries, it's on a call we go to, but sometimes folks insist that we still go, or you've gone home and you've realized, you know, something's been stolen out of your yard, or you've been inside your house and then you realize it's been burglarized, but it's safe. Nobody's in there. You can wait, you know, a half a day or a day for a response. So that's, there's actually a heaviness where our staff who want to provide amazing service feels bad for the consumers that we can't provide the level of service that we have. So we're doing a couple different things, you know, through community safety, health and wellness, through our efforts in the 911 center with Arizona Complete Health, of putting the right work in the right hands where it's not always a police officer. For decades, if your house wasn't on fire, you weren't having a heart attack, everything else at a 911 went to a police officer. And so, mm-hmm. you know, we somewhat became the impromptu Swiss Army knife, and we're really dissecting that. That's the space that our community conversation the last 2 years has created, is we really want to invest in resources, different resources for response to our community.
Tim, do you want to pick up on that before we take the break and talk about Mona's Danish Bakery?
Sure. So I assume what you're talking about there is like a community safety officer, I believe that's what they're called, CSOs, and possibly social workers or other agencies taking calls. Is that right? And how are things going as far as hiring those people or making those links to other agencies?
Absolutely, all those things, Tim. So we have just under 100 authorized community service officer positions. We have 54 of those folks that are out in the field now. We have additional 36 in training. And I know we'll talk about budget a little bit later, but I have asked for an increase of 50 to the tune of just over $3.5 million, because it does give me a different employee, a different workforce that not only are a contributing member that the community is already loving to see, especially out in the parks with park safety. They can do a lot of different things. We're also scaling that program through our investigative world, but also units like our MIS team, our homeless outreach team, and our substance misuse resource team that are out there trying to contribute to solving really complex issues.
Is this budget cop friendly, the new budget program, which begins July 1 for the city?
So the budget, you know, we had a lot going on with Proposition 101 to 411 vote. And so the budget for FY23 is basically a cash carry forward with some adjustments for compensation. What's underway right now is a conversation around supplemental ask for all the department directors. And we're working through those as a team right now. Our city budget's no different than your home budget. Our needs are always greater than our wants. And so it's a negotiation and a collaboration between the directors and with city leadership that will ultimately go in front of mayor and council for final decision.
Chief, could you use some bakery goods right about now?
I could, absolutely.
Mona's Danish Bakery could take care of those needs for you, Chief, and for Tim Steller. I know Tim loves, Tim's got a sweet tooth, Mona's Danish Bakery, and so does the Chief. Home of the Danish Kringle, northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise, open right now for lunch, and they open the doors for breakfast at 6:30. They are taking Mondays off now, but they're open now Tuesday through Sunday. Your big decision will be once you get in there. What in the world do I want in the bakery case? It all looks so great. If I had to pick something right now, Tim Steller and Chief, I would go with actually a croissant. I think a chocolate croissant midday. What do you think, Tim? What do you?
Sounds good. Good choice.
How about a Chief?
I'd go for a cheese Danish.
Ooh, cheese Danish.
That's good any time of the day.
Ooh, and Mona's does the Danish like nobody's business. So we'll take a break right here. More with the Chief. Lots to talk about. And Tim Steller from the Star right after this. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
Delivering a $2 billion voter-approved regional transportation plan involves complex policy, legal, and financial matters. The Regional Transportation Authority is open to answering any questions you have about delivery of the current RTA 20-year plan or about the development of a new regional transportation plan for the next 20 years. Contact the RTA at info@rtamobility.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster. You've heard me talk about choosing Tucson International Airport. While fewer people are traveling lately, our airport is doing even more these days to help ensure traveler health safety, including counter safety shields, physical distancing markers, enhanced cleaning, and more. It's called TUS Cares, and you can learn more at flytucson.com. These may be different times, but my priority remains to fly Tucson. Tucson International Airport.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org.
Are you searching for a sumptuous suite on the Italian Riviera, an exploration of the mighty Mississippi, or an indulgent spa in Cancun? Bon Voyage Travel will help you find exactly the vacation you're looking for anywhere in the world. With many cruises setting sail in over 1,100 hotels and resorts to choose from with our exclusive benefits, Bon Voyage Travel's experienced advisors are here to guide you every step of the way. Visit bvtravel.com or call 797-1110.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. Tim Steller is here from the Arizona Daily Star, Chief Chad Kazmar from the Tucson Police Department with us in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. So, Chief, when it comes to measures that might suppress gun violence in this country, what are some of your thoughts?
The first thing, Tim, for anybody listening and to spread the word is responsible gun ownership. And what I mean by that is, one, do not leave your firearm in your vehicle when you get out of it. From 2018 to current, would you like to guess how many firearms were stolen from vehicles in Tucson?
Over 1,000.
1,100.
Hey,
and from 2020,
good,
that's a good guess.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to check your cliff notes
okay.
here. I think you're preparing. From 2020 to 2021, we saw a 40% increase, and we peaked at 334 weapons being stolen from vehicles here in Tucson. I'm happy to report we've been trying to educate the community this year, and we're down at 84 this year. But those are weapons that are out on the street. They make our streets less safe. They make it less safe for all of the public safety personnel, like we saw in that AMR shooting last year. So I really want to implore, as we are listening to gun debate conversation across the country, and waiting to see what the federal government's going to do with some of those, is that we can have an impact now by responsible gun ownership. So if it's in your house, make sure it's secured, especially if you have children, or make it difficult for somebody to find if they break into your house. But absolutely, keep that stored. Or if you don't have a vault in your car, don't keep it in your car.
That's common sense stuff that folks can do and not be real controversial about it.
Well, yeah. Apparently 1,100 times it wasn't.
Yeah.
So,
okay.
But that comes through just spread the word. I'm going to ask everybody who's listening today to tell three people that they heard those numbers today on the on the radio, and we can have an impact.
Okay, Tim Steller.
Another thing about gun violence that I've noticed in a lot of the cases we had in Tucson is that disputes tend to escalate into shootings. That's correct, isn't it? Or like altercations. Verbal altercation.
Absolutely. 26 of those incidents occurred last year. We're seeing homicide numbers where strangers who don't know each other, where there's acts of spontaneous violence, are absolutely on the increase across the country. And there in our community, we had four of those road rage type incidents. So I said it last time I was on, go the other way. Don't honk. Don't wave back that they're number one. Just hang a right, hang a left, go a different direction. You have a choice. Go home and safe to your family and avoid that conflict.
The other thing, though, is that the sheer presence of a gun in a given situation, tends to, in some cases, lead to the altercation becoming deadly. I'm talking, for example, the other day on East Pima Street, there was a homicide. I don't know if it's a murder yet, but a homicide in which three people argued. All three had guns. Apparently, they were displayed or something, and one of the people got shot. Now, if zero of the three people had guns there, it's pretty unlikely that anyone would have been shot. Is that part of the problem too? Just that people have guns when they get into these altercations?
People absolutely post-pandemic have shorter fuses. There's lots of studies and ongoing. I don't know that we fully know the impact on society from that. But what we do know is across the country and here in Tucson, we're seeing folks with shorter fuses. Last year, we had over 700 shootings that did not result in a fatality. And this year, we're at over 200 of those. So we are having some success. We're doing three different locations where we're doing something we call place network investigations, where we're working with community and we're looking at data on violent crime, and we're investing resources and presence and through environmental design, having some positive impact it's very preliminary, but it's something we're working on this year to reduce those numbers.
Can I ask you something quick about that place focus? I have always wondered, it strikes me that when I hear about these shootings and murders, that they're just kind of, their geography is kind of random. In other words, that they're not, am I wrong to think that?
Tucson's interesting. It's, we forget. If you've lived here, like I have, third generation raising fourth, it's the biggest small town you've ever known. It's 1 degree separation, but it is 250 square miles, and we are the 33rd largest city in the country. So when you look at maps of crime or the overlays or violent crime, property crime, collisions, it's really spread throughout the community. But we have an amazing analytical team who crunches the numbers for us, really smart people, and they tell us, here's where your hot spots are, and that's where we're focusing some of our energy.
Oh, okay. On a couple other notes, so we had two cases late last year, that were of great public interest involving Tucson police officers and violence. There was, I think the first one was Robert Chalesky, and a TPD officer was involved in an off-duty incident at the Culinary Dropout. And then the Officer Ryan Remington shot and killed a man who was scootering into Lowe's carrying a knife. So what can you tell us about the status of those officers and their employment?
So I can tell you that I did inherit both of those cases when I came back at the end of last year and upheld termination on Officer Remington, who's still pending criminal decision from the Pima County Attorney's Office and administrative review through the civil service process, City of Tucson. Is with respect to Officer Schletsky, he is within his right, taking his right to grieve the discipline that I issued in that investigation. So I'm not at liberty to discuss either of those for those reasons. You know, what I'll tell people about the Schletsky situation, though, is that I've been here 22 years at the police, well, 21, because I spent a year away down at the 911 center, and I'm coming up on the anniversary here shortly. I have high expectations of our police department, our officers, both off duty and on duty. And so, you know, we're having those conversations, within the department, and it's complicated, but it really ties back into accountability, fair accountability, and I'll also apply the lens of the investment we make in training, and I think there's the mental health component as well.
All right, this is a question that came in on Tim Steller's Facebook page. We had some pretty good questions, a lot to do with pay raises. I think we've covered that. Here's a good one from Sarah. What about, you've been talking, Chief, about traffic law enforcement since day one, really, when you took over as chief about 6 months ago. You really want to get that area of law enforcement beefed up. Give us an update.
Yeah, great question. So year to date, we've had 22 pedestrian fatalities, 2 bicycle, 10 motorcycle, 10 vehicles. So we're at 37 year to, we're at 44 year to date. We were at 37 last year. So traffic safety is everyone's responsibility. I'm going to ask the community, you know, going 15 over isn't going to get you to work that much faster. You know, environmental design, the transportation has those lights, you know, scheduled to where you can get across town if you follow the speed limit in the same amount of time. We're seeing more distracted drivers. We're seeing more aggressive drivers. Obviously, with marijuana, our DUIs have increased. So traffic enforcement is one component, just one component of safe streets. I put motors back out when I came back to the department. I have 19 of them out. They're averaging about 2,000 tickets a month. So if we keep that average throughout the year, we'll issue, you know, more tickets this year than we had the previous 2 years and all of the department combined. So they're out there, and I tell you, I get a ton of feedback. Never in my wildest dreams as a past motor officer did I think that I'd have people thanking me to see motorcycle officers out in the community to make our streets safer. But I also want to give kudos to Alberto Gutierrez and the GOHS up at the governor's office, highway safety. They've invested over $500,000 to support my efforts in this space and allowing us to get equipment and grant funds for pedestrians so we can make safer streets where we do specific enforcement for DUI, specific enforcement education for pedestrians and for bicycle traffic.
Are all of the vehicles, the motorcycles, sitting in use now, or some of them still idle due to manpower or women power?
Yeah, we're about 30% of what we've had historically. And again, it's as we talked about with even our recruitment of new police officers, not every new police officer of this generation would like to throw their leg over a motorcycle in this community and ride where it's either cold or it's hot.
Yes.
I can't tell you how many times I had people pull up next to me when I was a motor officer and ask me in a full navy blue uniform if I was hot in the summer or it was pouring monsoon rain on me. So we definitely have better, safer equipment and more breathable equipment for the staff, but it's still a tough job and a dangerous job to be out there on a motorcycle with the traffic challenges that we have.
Listener Raul wants to know, what would you do, Chief, differently to improve community relations with communities of color?
So, you know, we're out there every day. Great question. Working to build relationships with the community. We have two additional events. Two Saturday, actually, the World Refugee Day at Anfa High School from 11 to 2. And of course, Juneteenth celebration at Kennedy Park from 11 to 9. And we'll be out at both those. So here's the trick about, I don't think there's really an appreciation for the amount of work that this police department in this city invest in connecting with their community. I'm involved in local and national level conversations in this space, and I heard the term once, you know, police propaganda. And so it's a really fine line from engaging with community and not talking about it, because if we do, then it appears to be propaganda, versus having a genuine connection with the community that we serve. And we are absolutely doing that. If we're not the ones driving the social media, the groups that we're connecting with are. But I'm proud of the work that we're doing right now. And I have certainly almost nonstop, every day, every week, I'm out there in the community connecting with folks.
Okay, here's Tim Stellar.
On the traffic issue, one thing that really jumped out at me is that according to the latest press release on a traffic death, there have been double the pedestrian deaths this year that there were last year. And only of all the categories, pedestrian, bicycle, motorcycle, and vehicle, only vehicle-on-vehicle traffic deaths are down this year. But the other categories are either stable or up, motorcycles, bicycles, and pedestrians. So what explains that?
So couple different things. One, pedestrians are just as distracted with cell phones as the drivers. Two, drugs and alcohol. We absolutely have a fentanyl pandemic, opiate pandemic in this community, that we call them M30s. It's a synthetic opiate pill. You can buy them for anywhere from $2 to $5 a pill. It's absolutely a foundational issue to our unsheltered issue, to our pedestrian deaths. Many times who are unsheltered folks who are crossing the road in a dark space, jaywalking, and vehicles don't see them. So what I would say again to the driver is you got to pay attention. You know, whether you have the right of way or not, nobody wants to injure or kill another human being. I want to really show my appreciation not only for Proposition 101, which is an absolute lifesaver for public safety, but also the passing of 411, the overwhelming passing of 411. And I'll remind everybody, 20% of that safe streets, which means better sidewalks, better lighting. So as a police department, we say, hey, you know, just like when I went out New Year's Eve to do a DUI deployment where I, you know, put my foot in my mouth publicly and said, you know, I'm not going to tolerate any more fatalities. And we promptly had two of those pedestrian fatalities that night while I was out with the team.
Wow.
In an area where we, you know, we appreciate dark skies for our commitment to dark skies and our program with U of A, but there's definitely technology and lighting now where we can have safe streets, well-lit streets that doesn't impact that.
Tim, anything you want to bring up before we close?
No, that's good, Bill.
And so generally, we've talked about the recruitment is on track, Chief, and overall, how are we doing kind of this first 6 months, and what would you like our listeners to keep in mind as you say goodbye during this session?
I just want to thank them for the support and giving me the opportunity to serve you as the chief of police in my hometown is just an absolute dream and an honor, and just overwhelmed with the support for that. You know, our goals continue to be a healthy, well-staffed department, well-trained department that serves our community with pride, and we have a safe, and it's ultimately a safe community. And so I'm proud to be part of the city leadership team with Mayor Romero, council, the city manager, our direct boss, Leona Perez, in public safety, but also the director group. I'll tell you right now, best director group I've worked with in 22 years. And I'll close with, though, it's also awesome to see through the leadership of Sheriff Nanos and Chief Riley through the Pima Regional Critical Incident Team, that thing has just blossomed. We did a press release this week on our collective response to school violence. And that we are unified as a public safety team, all 11 organizations in this area, to make sure that we have a safe Tucson.
This always happens when I ask for a wrap-up question. I then think of one more question.
Right. Of course.
Since it's my show, I can actually keep it a few extra seconds because you are mentioning unsheltered people. And I know that SunTran has had issues with unsheltered people. And in many ways, you can't blame them. They want to get on an air-conditioned bus. And I'm just wondering, is crime gone up on buses?
I don't have that number. I can tell you, I applaud the city leadership's ability in a pandemic to make sure that folks who are struggling have the ability to get around town into the services they need. There are some unintended consequences, too, where it makes it more difficult for us to locate folks who are in need of wraparound services or transient on the buses to be able to commit different types of crime. What I would tell the listeners is, Our unsheltered population is generally the victims of violent crime, and they're the if they're suspect of crime, it's for misdemeanor or property type crimes.
Okay, Chief Kazmar, thank you very much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
All right, we're going to take a break right here. I've got a few things I want to go over with Tim Steller. So, Tim, you stick around. We'll take a break right here. The Buckmaster Show and the Green Things, Zocalo Village Studio, our live line presented by Rincon Ventures, Real Estate and Property Management. We'll be right back.
Dine in or take out authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza at Vero Amore, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, and panini are homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore, on the web at veroamorepizza.com.
Hi, this is Irene Coppola, President and CEO of the Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona. The BBB sets the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the resource to turn to for the objective, unbiased information on businesses offering national and local consumer services online and in person. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau at bbb.org.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
Family owned and run since 1985, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is the gold standard for quality and professionalism for picture framing, custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, and hanging and lighting solutions. Come in for your design session or set it up electronically. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and now doing e-commerce at moesgallery.com.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show and the Green Things, Zocalo Village Studio. Tim Steller is here, columnist for the Arizona Daily Star. Tim, I want to talk a little bit about your column on Wednesday. When President Trump went on TV election night and said the whole thing was rigged, he was the winner, it really has changed Arizona politics, hasn't it?
It sure has. You know, that's been kind of the centerpiece of what's going on, especially up in Phoenix.
Yeah.
Ever since then. And in that column, I was just trying to kind of imagine what it would have been like if that hadn't happened.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's funny. I mean, it was unlikely that he would do anything else. That is, he had been talking, he had essentially laid out the idea that if he doesn't win, it's because of fraud. He had been saying that for months. But, you know, that was the first time he had the opportunity after the election, after the polls had closed, to kind of take a deep breath. And his advisors, we now know, were telling him that you know, the votes just need to be counted. Just let it sit. And as I said in the column, he followed the advice of Rudy Giuliani, who thought that would be weak, quote unquote, mm-hmm. to not claim fraud and declare victory. So,
and the litmus test is Trump on my for the Republican in the primary, is Trump on my side?
Yeah, and then within that, the way you get that Trump nod is by being the most outlandish candidate with regard to claiming election fraud. So,
as is the case with, as you pointed out in your column today, for Arizona Attorney General, in that I think it's a six-way primary.
Right. So there's six candidates for Attorney
including
General,
including Rodney Glassman.
The former Democratic Tucson councilman is running, of course, as a Republican. He changed parties a few years ago, and is, you know, as trying to be as radical as anyone can be. But, of course, he didn't score the Trump nomination. That went to a young, rather unknown person named Abe Hamadeh, who is a former Maricopa County prosecutor. And talks up his experience in the Army National, no, not National Guard, in the Reserves quite a bit. He won the Trump nod, so that gives him an edge, although, you know, there's incredibly experienced people who are quite conservative. They just didn't win the Trump nod.
Yeah, and you wonder what that will be worth. I have no idea how the polling, or if there even has been in that particular race.
Well, you got to think, with six people running, there's only maybe one or two with any name ID, and therefore the Trump nomination and the Trump endorsement has got to be worth something.
You've spent some time recently up in your home area of the Twin Cities, Minneapolis, St. Paul. You've been up there a little more than... You like to go up there. You like to return to your roots, but you've been up there a little bit more this summer. Do you see any parallels with the city of Minneapolis and the city of Tucson when it comes to, say, economic development?
I mean, no, unfortunately. You know,
and they're very... You kind of posted something funny about that on Facebook. That's why I'm asking.
And this will be brought up in my column on Sunday, but... you know, and I should acknowledge up front, we're talking about two different scales of city, two different histories, two different regions. So it's not exactly a fair comparison, but there are comparisons that can be made.
Aren't both cities very democratic?
Yeah, that's one thing. Yes. And actually, Tucson as a city within the limits is significantly more populous than Minneapolis. It's like...
You'd win a trivia question for that one, probably.
Yeah. It's like 530,000 people in Tucson and maybe 430,000 in Minneapolis. But of course, it's the center of a region of 3 million people, or a metro area.
But both liberal government, city governments.
Yeah, but it's about as far as the government comparison goes. Okay. One interesting thing, they have 13 city council members to our six.
Wow.
Yeah, I believe it's 13. Mm-hmm. Anyway, I mean, the thing that made me kind of unhappy is just seeing how things get done there. Whereas here, sometimes they do get done. I'm thinking about the streetcar and the loop, things like that. Those are two pretty big achievements. But too often, in my opinion, things just languish. Mm-hmm. You know, big road projects, you know, economic development opportunities that start and then stop. I mean, obviously, the history of Rio Nuevo is that history, although it's caught up a little bit in the last 10 years and done some good. So, yeah, I mean, it left me feeling frustrated, but I think more so now because housing prices are so high here in Tucson that it feels less like you can accept the downsides.
Because the narrative goes, as you know that, you live here, it's a failing city. That's what's the narrative about Tucson, that it's a failing city and that that if you want to go to someplace that works, you go up to like Marana or Oro Valley.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't. Yeah. I would never go that far.
But you know the narrative.
Sure, and I think it's mostly bogus, but it's not a thriving city, that's for sure. It's somewhere in between failing and thriving. It's kind of bumbling along. And that's not good in and of itself. You know, let's throw out the extreme versions and just say that it's not doing great, you know, and that I think most people can accept that. Mm-hmm. And maybe now I don't know if I'm overstating things, but maybe now there's less acceptance of that. I'm trying to bring in the housing prices here. Like now that it's not cheap to live here.
Yes.
Is it okay to also have these other problems, you know?
Mm-hmm.
That's my question.
got about a minute to go. I always like to promote what you're doing, Tim. Sunday's column, is it finished yet? Or are you
no,
gonna go?
Hell no.
I'm talking it out right now.
We're writing as we speak.
Very cool.
Yeah.
So what are some of your thoughts generally?
Well, I'm giving you some of them, and then I'm just going to bring in some. I mean, I think that the data on housing affordability I was looking at earlier today, it's quite shocking. Not just shocking because it's unaffordable now, but because it was very affordable before 2007, 2006, mm-hmm. when the increase really took place, and then it sank incredibly after the run up in the first decade of the 2000s, and then here's the crazy thing: after the crash, Tucson became very affordable again.
Mm-hmm.
It according to all the measures. We became more affordable than we were before the run-up.
No, it sounds like we've got a taste of your column already.
Right,
there.
And now it's going down again, of course.
All right. Yeah. Thank you, Tim Steller. We'll look for your work in the Arizona Daily Star. Hope you have a good weekend, Tim.
Same to you, Bill.
All right. We're going to take a break right here, come back with Weekend Watch. Matt Russell will join us on the live line presented by Rincon Ventures, Real Estate and Property Management. Be right back.
Tucson's original gastropub, Noble Hops in Oro Valley, proudly announces a second Tucson area location where you'll enjoy locally brewed craft beer and gastropub fine fare. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, on West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and now at the Doubletree Hotel on Alvernon across from Tucson's Reed Park. More on the web at noblehops.com.
Delivering a $2 billion voter-approved regional transportation plan involves complex policy, legal, and financial matters. The Regional Transportation Authority is open to answering any questions you have about delivery of the current RTA 20-year plan or about the development of a new regional transportation plan for the next 20 years. Contact the RTA at info@rtamobility.com.
Hello, I'm Danette Bewley, CEO of the Tucson Airport Authority. At Tucson International Airport, we're nonstop supporting jobs and prosperity as an economic engine for our entire region. From an innovative and touchless passenger experience to earning the GBAC Star Accreditation, the golden standard for cleanliness, our team is ready to welcome you back to Tucson International Airport. Begin your journey with us. We're nonstop for you, Southern Arizona.
For more than a half century, Tucson Gardeners Trust Green Things, a family-owned and operated retail and wholesale plant nursery, offering an amazing variety of plants, trees, cacti, pottery, and so much more, all at great prices. The 13.5-acre site by the Rito River is also home to the Zocalo Village, specializing in fine Mexican and Latin American imported furniture and art. Green Things open daily at 3384 East River Road and at greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Cushman & Wakefield Picor is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield Picor offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at picor.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's picor.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Nestled in the foothills of the Santa Rita Mountains of southeastern Arizona is Equine Voices and Sanctuary, home to horses and burros that were rescued from neglect, abuse, abandonment, and slaughter. Please consider Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary with a financial gift of support and estate remembrance. Learn more about our vision and values at equinevoices.org.
And away we go with Weekend Watch, presented by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. We have so much fun with the Buckmaster Show Guarantee, which is applicable in the summertime because we say Silver City will be 10 degrees at least cooler than Tucson. Look at that midday temperature, 85. Look at the five-day forecast, 77 on Tuesday. So nice temperatures, summer temperatures up in Silver City, and I say up because their elevation is what keeps it cool. 5,000 to 7,000 feet, only about a 3-hour drive from Tucson. So much outdoor activity over there. You will have a good time. Start your planning at southwestnewmexico.org. Matt Russell is the longtime host of Weekend Watch. He's an award-winning Tucson publicist, Inside Tucson Business, food and beverage columnist, and it's always a pleasure to welcome him to the Buckmaster Show. Matt, away we go, buddy.
And away we go. Just doing a little Foothills rain dance today just to get things moving up there in the atmosphere. I'd love to see a little precip.
Yeah, get a little few drops. We got a few drops driving into work today, so I officially declared Monsoon 2020, as far as the Buckmaster Show is concerned, has begun. Let's talk a little bit about lavender.
Yeah, you know, if you love lavender,
I do.
I'll say you are, if you're in for a treat tomorrow, up at the Life Under the Oaks Lavender Farm. It's up in Oracle, and starting at 8:30 tomorrow morning, there's going to be a wreath making workshop where you're going to be able to create your own lavender wreath. You can kick back on the farm with some fresh lavender lemonade and a special picnic basket that they'll pack just for you. But check it out, Bill. At 6 o'clock tomorrow night, there's going to be a 4-course lavender dinner that will transport your palate to Provence. So I can smell it now. All the information is on the Life Under the Oaks Lavender Farm website.
Love lavender. A lot of people love staycations too, Matt.
Yeah, absolutely. And our friends up at Proof, Artisanal Pizza and Pasta in St. Phillips Plaza, have created a special menu for those who will be sticking around this summer and want to save a buck or two. They're calling it the Summer Staycation Special, and you'll be able to enjoy 2 glasses of house wine, 2 salads, and any pizza on their menu, all for just $25. And yes, that's any pizza, including my go-to at Proof, the Moms and Dads pizza with pomodoro, mozzarella, sausage, pepperoni, mushroom.
Whoa.
There's not enough time left in this segment to finish. Abundanza, as they say. The staycation special starts this weekend, and it runs daily all summer long.
Sunday, we honor our fathers.
It's time to show him and all old men everywhere the love on Father's Day this Sunday. Some of the decidedly delicious options I've seen include Charo Steak in Delray downtown. They have a lobster steak and lava cake menu with dad's choice of an 8-ounce ribeye or an 18-ounce ribeye or 8-ounce filet. And then Fleming's Prime Steakhouse up on Skyline and Campbell. They're going to be doing a 3-course steak and lobster evening for dad with a 20-ounce prime ribeye. And of course, if you're like me, you're going to start with their signature old-fashioned to kind of prepare your palate for excellence. I say happy Father's Day to my dad and to dads everywhere.
That 18-ouncer has its own zip code. Whoa, that's a big, big piece of meat. All right, what about the column?
Yeah, you know, what does the Pacific Northwest look like at the center of the plate? Well, you can read about one local restaurant's special menu dedicated to the cooler summer climates of Washington and Oregon, and it's all in my column in this week's Inside Tucson Business.
Okay. Happy Father's Day to you, Matt. Thank you very much. All right. The Buckmaster Show is a presentation of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, and that organization is wholly responsible for the content of our program. Original theme music composed by a young man I met 5 or 6 years ago on the island, Portuguese island of Madeira. His name is Christophan. He's from Germany. He does a great job. Rose Brandt does all of our podcasts, my assistant making sure they're up in a timely manner, KVOI's Tom Fairbanks, engineering and producing the show. He always does such a great job for us. Tom's part of the entire team that makes Buckmaster feel so welcome. That would be Bustos Media Tucson. Stay safe and have a lovely weekend.